And we just want to begin our time today, our assembly time on Sunday, with Dan's going to be reading a brief message from Open Windows, T. Austin Sparks, and then Lori's going to be sharing from the message in the chapter we read on Wednesday, and then we will begin our continue on with chapter 9 with Knowing God in Christ. So go ahead, Dan.
Okay, from 1 John 1:5, it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Light is transparency, light is clearness, light is absolute purity, light is honesty, light is openness of character. Light hides nothing. Its whole action and nature is contrary to hiding anything. It has nothing to hide. It shows everything. It shows all. In other words, it is not deceitful. It does not want to cover anything, or to pretend, or make believe that something is other than what it is. Light is single. It is not double. There is no duplicity about the light. And light is just light. There is no darkness at all where there is light. How many shades and aspects of darkness there are? A whole vocabulary of words. The Spirit has come to bring all that to an end by applying the cross, in which it was all brought to an end in the person of the Lord Jesus, to work out the meaning of the cross in our lives so that everything that belongs to that kingdom of darkness is removed, so that in the end, with us too, there is no darkness at all. Is that really what we think of when we think of having, receiving, and being filled with the Holy Spirit? Here again, perhaps, a little reshaping of our ideas is called for. It is true that He is many other things as well as light. He's the Spirit of power. He's the Spirit of wisdom. Yes, He is many other things. But with them all, He is this. And we must not make more of those demonstration aspects of the Spirit in power, in gifts and capacities, in works, than we do of His character side. If He really does His work in you and me, He will make us to be people who can bear to be looked into without any fear, without any drawing of the blinds. Our lives, our motives will bear looking into.
Well, that's really tremendous, isn't it? What a definition. I want to stick that in my Bible at 1 John. So, anyway, this one on the vessel of testimony. You know, remember what he said, that Mary Magdalene was the vessel in the first instance of testimony to others. She was the very first vessel of testimony after the resurrection of Christ. And it says, if the church is really to be his vessel of testimony, it must have that kind of basis or background, which is an appreciation for the Lord Jesus. A deep, worshipful appreciation of the Lord Jesus. The very first thing and the abiding thing in the life of the church is worship. The first thing that ought to be the mark of every coming together of the Lord's people is worship. And that made me stop and think. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday, and when we get together, we are getting together to share our appreciation of the Lord Jesus. So our entire time is worship. You know, we're not, first of all, coming together to hear a message, whatever. But each one of us, if we are individually, daily appreciating the Lord, then when we come together, we bring that with us. We bring that sense of worship and appreciation with us. I thought, well, now that's my personal responsibility. That's why we come prepared. We come prepared. The very first thing and the abiding thing in the life of the church is worship. Oh, etc. I already read that. What is worship? It is the heart going out in appreciation of Him, giving Him the whole place, and getting right down before Him and setting Him up anew as everything. The church is based upon that. It is out of that appreciation that testimony arises, and the church becomes the vessel of His testimony. And, of course, if 1 John, whatever this is, what's the
one
verse?
5, 1 John 1:5.
1:5, that God is light. If that isn't true of us, then to that degree, Jesus Christ is not appreciated in any one of our lives where there's any darkness, where we're afraid to let anybody look in at any point and especially our Lord. But it often works out this way, you know. So it says, these things are very simple and elementary, yet they are not just things said. There is a need for recovery of this appreciation of the Lord Jesus. Oh, to be taken up more with Him. Even if we are less taken up with the things which are associated with Him. So often it is the things rather than the Lord. The vessel of testimony is constituted upon the basis of a heart appreciation of the Lord Jesus. And I think that we see that happening in you, Dan, as you are bringing your appreciation of the Lord. It's so encouraging. It is so. I can't tell you. I probably am praising God more about Him, that life being released in you, than anything else in my life right now. It means so much to the body to have Him released in you.
Yes,
I mean, it's just been we've been waiting, you know. It's been a travail. And of course, that we feel that way for each of us. But it's so encouraging. So keep pressing in like you're doing. Because you being that vital, living member of Christ is, it's like my life depends on it, in a sense. You know, the life of His body.
That's the true feminine response of the Lord.
That's right. Your bridal, the bridal features of Christ. And I've been thinking about J.B. Stoney and C.A. Coates. I'm sure at some point the Lord will take you back there too. Because that's where those bridal features are. Oh, they're nurtured. You know. So, all right. But then this is just the beginning before our song that we're going to sing. So you can turn to 755. And no, I'm not quite finished. Okay. And just to be there, and we'll go right into the song. I thought that talking about the trumpet was really phenomenal in this same chapter 7, that resurrection is connected with the trumpet. The trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised. So think about that. And then, so in thinking about that, we will hear the trumpet when the Lord is in the sky and in the air waiting to call His church. But also, everywhere in Scriptures, the trumpet is always the symbol of testimony. It is the trumpet which sounds forth the note of testimony that redemption is complete, reaching unto the very body lying in the grave, redeemed from this mortality, this body of corruption. And it says, in a spiritual sense, Mary was the first one to blow the trumpet in this dispensation. She sounded the first dispensational note upon the trumpet of testimony as to the resurrection life. You and I are entrusted with the trumpet of testimony to sound forth the fact of resurrection as including redemption from death, from the grave, from all that has to do therewith. The whole dispensation is governed by the trumpet. The first sound with Mary and the last sound of the trumpet when the dead shall rise. Its note ever and always is that Christ lives. Christ is risen. Resurrection in Christ represents complete redemption. So what I thought yesterday as I was reading this is the trumpet will not sound until the testimony of the measure, of the stature, of the fullness of Christ has been completed.
Yes.
In this, we already know that many of the saints in heaven have reached that. But this final generation to reach that corporately, the trumpet will sound. How significant is that? Because I always wonder, what's the trumpet? What's the voice of the archangel? But this is it. That when that testimony is complete, nothing will keep the trumpet from sounding. So it is incumbent upon us to have that in our hearts, to say, oh, we must be this. We must be all light, no dark part.
We hold that or we die.
Yes. So anyway, that I just had to share that. So we're going to sing this wonderful song of testimony. We shall behold.